Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Metro.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
Good. I think that's the second time I've used Metro.
Shut up, Metro.
I think that's the second. I have to go back and check. I'm not going to go back. But I think that's the second time I've checked. I've used it.
At least the second time.
Well, we didn't do one the first time around. So I think rewatch.
I'm sure you probably threw one in there.
No, because I think during that episode, I used Metro.
I know that. I'm saying you've done it before, I think.
Why not? I know. I've just said I know. I've used it before. I said. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow when we're recording Married Man, pumpkin spice Oreos.
Oh, you have those.
I have those. Your mom picked them up.
Speaking of Married Man, this is the third episode of The Lost Podcast, retrospective, the return of The Lost Podcast, and this is our second episode-centric Lost Podcast. Last week we had a fun show with the fantastic Ralph from the Darmalars and much, much more. All right, let's do a podcast, this current show that's on iTunes. And we still do our other shows, like The Married Man Show, and we actually do new ones like Jay and Jack TV, where we cover all the TV that's going on right now. We just premiered that last week, and that is all part of our Jay and Jack Plus subscription. For only $2.99 a month, you get all of the other shows that we do, additional to the free show that we do, which currently is The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. And special for this month, for our 9th anniversary of Jay and Jack, Jack and I podcasting, we're doing a penny promotion. So for this month, if you sign up for only one penny, you start out to listen to all of the shows that we have produced under the Jay and Jack Plus banner, which we started, what, about 4 years ago? Three, 4 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
So a lot of shows out there that you can check out beyond just The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. So definitely check it out. But yes, we are here to talk about Lost. And quickly, we decided we're going to do 8 episodes. I think 8 episodes is just too much.
Someone thought that at the beginning.
You did. You did well, because I didn't want it to be a rewatch, but I think everybody at home kind of wants to watch along. And even though it's not going to be a rewatch in the sense that we're going to really hash out every single episode, every single week, stuff like that.
Scene by scene.
These episode-centric podcasts will break down 4 episodes for each one. So that way, it's a little bit easier to manage for people at home watching it. And it hopefully will make the podcast a little more focused, because I noticed doing these 8 episodes, I started to trim some of the outer stuff to focus on the essentials. So I don't want to lose some of the details that we could get about these episodes, some of the discussions we could have about these episodes.
Yeah. So
it might make this special season of Lost podcast a little bit longer. But Jack loves to make things go longer, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, wrong podcast.
Action Jackson, is there anything else you want to say before we do get into the Lost recap, which will feature the top 5 pivotal moments from these 8 episodes? And I want some friggin' answers before we get into that. We also have some listener feedback today. And Jack, do you have your crackpot theory of the week?
Oh, I have the crackpot theory of the week.
Ooh, that's exciting. Before we do that, though, I will say, generally, I'm the one that's considered as horrible math skills. And before we start this, I want to confirm whether, I think I said on the show, All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues would be the last one, but if we said 8, it would actually be raised by another. And when I talked to Jack about it before we started, I was like, oh, wait, I thought it was, you know, this. So Jack actually had to catch up a little bit before we even started this show.
Yeah, you make one mistake, you're labeled for life. So,
so you know, I'll let you live it down, though, okay? Unlike you, if it was me, if this the roles
were
reversed,
I'll be honest, I stopped before raised, but I was like done 2 days ago.
No, it's not. You had
the time.
Did
you ask me? I go, I'm done.
That's what I thought. Okay. Oh, okay, good. He's good to go. I assumed you're responsible enough. You know,
I watched like 3 episodes in the same day or something like that.
Yeah. I will say, going back and watching these episodes, God, it's so nice to binge watch this show. I mean, it's just nice the way that Netflix on Apple TV anyway works now. It was this way a lot of other things. It kind of already gets the next episode going, so it kind of just keeps going. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Have you noticed that? Or
it has been. It's been. I want to keep watching. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of Lost. That's what makes the show. Even though I know the answers, or do I? But I know the answers. But it's just kind of you want to keep watching. It's like, oh, I forgot about this part. Oh, I forgot about this part. Oh, I forgot about this part. I haven't watched it since we did the last rewatch. That was, what, 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
Whatever it was. Anyway.
Anywho. Well, good. So, Jack, you ready for the last recap?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Last recap. All right, it's Lost recap time, and we had a lot of fantastic episodes that we covered. Let's break those down right now, and this is as broken down by Wikipedia, the greatest Wikipedia in the world.
You didn't take your own notes?
No, I did. I did take my own notes, but this is just an easy way to kind of break down the episodes themselves, and we'll get into...
So you cheated.
That's not cheating.
You cheated. You cheated.
First, we had Tabula Rasa.
I'm just going to say right now,
yeah.
Locke would be very ashamed of you.
I'm not cheating.
Where's
my references? I'm claiming my references.
The island is special, and you didn't do the extra work.
I still took notes. I'm saying this is the for my sources on knowing the dates and everything.
So now,
because I also want to talk about viewership per episode. Okay, I'm getting into the details here.
Now the truth comes out that back in the day, you weren't really watching the show.
You were there with me, you jerk.
I don't know if you were there. You kept stealing my notes. That's all I remember. I had to hide my notes.
Well, first we had Tabula Rasa.
You know those Secret Service guys, these security guys that have the suitcase, the briefcase with the handcuffs? Truth be known, that's how I recorded.
Yeah.
To put my notes in there and make sure it was locked.
We had Tabula Rasa, the first true flashback episode. I guess you could say it was Kate-centric. And came out of the pilot. And this one was directed by Jack Bender, written by Damon Lindelof, Kate-focused. Aired October 6, 2004, which is just so happens to be today. 10 years later today.
Wow.
And it had a viewership of 16.54 million viewers.
Yeah, I couldn't watch the episode because I had to wash my hair.
Huh?
10 years ago, I couldn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't have any hair back then either, so.
It was 10 years ago.
So this one, this one has the big reveal that Kate is a fugitive because he finds a picture of Kate. We have the
She's the nicest fugitive in the world.
Yeah.
She just is. I mean, You give Kate hitchhiking. You pick Kate up. Are you thinking she's going to murder you or kill you?
No, not at all.
Because she's Kate.
Sure. Again, yeah, sweetheart. America's sweetheart. Freckles.
Exactly.
Which I believe we had the first Freckles reference in this episode, correct?
I believe we did.
The party that went to the signal decided not to tell anybody about the transmission.
Which started a long... Well, I guess it started with the monster and they... I think we started saying it when they found the medical hatch and stuff like that. These people don't communicate with each other. Live together, but don't tell anybody anything.
But it's true. I mean, that's how life is in general. So it is true to life. In Kate's flashbacks, we kind of find her landing on an Australian farm. It's why she's in Australia. And the guy has a hell of a mortgage, and that's why he sold out Kate.
You know, Kate got a hell of a mortgage. Hell of a mortgage, Kate. But you notice that we're starting to hear the numbers without knowing that they're the numbers. Yes. We hear 8. We hear 4. There's 23,000.
Yep.
Is what I mean. We're starting to hear, but they don't mean anything to us now. But watching back, but now we watch and go, hey, that's a number. Hey, that's a number.
Do you think the numbers for them were arbitrary at this point, or did they know they're going to utilize these numbers?
Oh, they knew.
I think so, because 23 is such a specific number.
It's like all the time. I mean, it's like every, 4 o'clock. I mean, I wrote down some of them. Might not have been this episode, but there was some like $23,000.
Yes, yeah.
8 months ago, Wednesday, that his
his wife died.
His wife died. So there were things that in there that they started using the numbers without us knowing. Mm-hmm. How clever they are. So people say they didn't have a plan. Oh, they had a plan.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. This episode really kind of tackled the topic of euthanasia. So all of the children that are in Asia. Get it? Euthanasia joke? Euthanasia. No? No
laughing? We're all laughing. In fact, people had to pull over to the side of the road. So they...
Oh, come on!
Oh, that Jay. Did you hear that joke? Oh, I can't wait to get home and tell my wife that joke I just heard on this podcast.
So already we see that Jack can't let go. And he will not, even consider the possibility of helping the Marshal ease his pain or die or whatever. He just wants to let him suffer.
Sawyer was actually making sense.
Sure.
He goes, well, you're going to use all the medicine on this one guy?
Yeah.
We ain't being rescued, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
And he the whole thing, I'm like going, but I can see Jack's side, too. He's a doctor. He's sworn to, save.
Is that what they do? Like when they graduate doctor school, they have a swear an oath.
They swear an oath
that they will never let somebody die.
Yeah, the Hippocratic oath, don't they? Isn't that what it is?
I picture them standing, on a credenza somewhere in front of a whole bunch of people.
No, it's on a golf course.
Oh, it's on a golf course. Okay.
It's on a golf course. And for you doctors playing at home, I'm just kidding.
Please, if I'm dying, save me.
Yes, remember your oath. It was on the 19th hole where you guys took the oath.
But Kate was given the gun, and it's darn near poetic. Gives it to Sawyer.
Because they trust her.
Yes, they shouldn't, but they do. And he shoots the marshal, but he misses his heart. For me, it was never confirmed. But did Jack finish him off? Did he?
Jack, he finished him off. You can tell by his look. He was disgusted. He had to finish the job. And I think he said, "I'm cleaning up your mess." This term I actually said. So, yeah. But what a theory I always had, and this won't be a theory, my theory today, that the marshal and Kate had more of a relationship than just...
Yeah, it's a long-standing theory for you.
Because this is what he says. No matter what she says, no matter what she does, or how she makes you feel, don't trust her. She'll do anything to get away.
Yeah.
That's pretty... we never found out, and this will be an unanswered question forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kate did more. The marshal had feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying, why is he chasing after her? She's not like public enemy number one.
No, I agree.
Right? And she's the reward was only it's only $23,000. It was $1 million. And he's using FBI funds to go to Australia. And he's spending a lot of money to get Kate. This was personal. And I will never get that answer. But
Kate, it's just personal.
I still say that it was more to him. Than just bringing in a wanted gal.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. And that ends the episode.
I do say, though, but we had, Locke makes a dog whistle for Michael.
Yes, he does.
To get Vincent back.
Yep.
And Locke has, and I'm just asking the question out there to the Lockeites and anybody else. You see the stare Locke gives Michael. At the end, when Michael...
It's a very, very kind of ominous scene that kind of leads into Walkabout.
Right. You see, he just...
And we have Joe Purdy's wonderful song in there as well.
Right. So there's anger and he, just like... So I'm just asking the question. I'm not trying to be a Locke hater. Is it Locke being jealous that he wasn't getting the credit for it? Because we see that that's an issue with him a lot.
No, not at all.
Was he jealous that... He obviously has daddy issues. His dad was not a good father.
I think that's it right there. I think it's, if anything...
Or did he see a lot of his dad in Michael? Because Michael wasn't around for his son growing up. And Locke obviously knows, I think...
Well, but then why would... Locke did the very kind thing of...
Making the whistle in the first place?
Making the whistle, letting the dad take the credit, all that kind of stuff. So I don't think he would have done all of that.
But why the look of just hatred?
I think, and this kind of could have changed as it went along, but I think the Walt and Locke's storyline was supposed to be much different as time went on. I think their intentions were much different. Walt was a special kid.
Or was he?
He was. I mean, there's no doubt he ended up being the person that, in the end of the show, Hurley went to take back to the island because it was important that he was going to be on.
Sure, he killed birds.
I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. It's not even a make a joke about it. I mean, it's legit. That's what it is. But
I'm not making a joke. He killed birds.
I think when you look at that storyline, and we see in these coming episodes the Locke and Walt relationship building, and I think so. Locke saw something special in Walt and saw that there was something there.
But why
and
the Locke, anger? What? But if he
I don't
did
think it's
something,
anger. I think it's focus. It's a focus look. It's not an angry.
It was
look.
For me, it was a look to kill.
It wasn't a look to kill. It was a very focused look, like he was contemplating something.
Killing Michael.
No. Can't be so simple. Can't be so two-dimensional in your thoughts. It's lost.
Again, I'm just asking the question.
You're just hating on your own kind. Let's go to my favorite episode and a lot of people's favorite episodes, Walkabout. The fuselage is full of dead bodies. Boars are starting to attack it. And then Locke decides that he will help find these boars, kill them, to one, help feed the tribe, and two, to
we hunt
his walkabout lust and finally accomplish one of his life's goals.
The opening scene, Ralph talked about it on the last podcast. Locke is looking at his feet, mm-hmm. and there's so many clues. And they're like hitting us over the head with it, and kudos for anyone who figured out beforehand. I had no, but you look at the shoe he picks up, it's not even worn out.
Yeah.
Now, it could be someone just getting a new shoe, but you look at the shoe's not worn out. Yep. This whole episode was just, you know, we just think Randy's being a jerk. Well, he is.
Yeah.
But he was telling us why Locke couldn't go on a walkabout. So anyway.
And again, I wondered what was wrong with his legs, but I never considered that, you know, he wasn't able to walk. I never considered that.
Even when he's talking to Helen.
Mm-hmm.
You look at him and go, well, yeah, now I see why he's...
And there's that machine sitting there that he has that he turns off. Like, they hit us over the head with these clues.
Yeah, but I never saw it coming.
And even then, with all those clues, we have the fantastic reveal that he was in a wheelchair. This walkabout they want again, they won't let him go. And don't tell me what I can't do. And then it intersperses with just this incredible moving scene going back to the crash. And again, they filmed this after they filmed the pilot, so they had to kind of recreate the pilot for that, and I think they did a really good job. And it's just an incredible episode. It was fantastic. Go ahead.
The music is fantastic, and the acting of Terry O'Quinn is just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The last 4 minutes could be some of the best of Lost ever.
Oh,
just
I agree.
The music and just Locke's look and mm-hmm. his satisfaction when he sees the wheelchair.
Yep.
And his
smile. Gives me chills now just thinking about it.
It's the exact opposite he had of the last episode where he's got, I think it's an angry look, but his look, he sees that wheelchair and he just goes.
Maybe he's hangry. Maybe he's hungry and he's angry. Because he hasn't gotten the boars yet.
That does happen.
And we have Locke is confronted by the smoke monster. We don't know it's a smoke monster. It's just the monster and his left behind.
He looks into the eye of the island.
What he saw was beautiful.
It's beautiful. Well, that's brought up a lot of theories that people believe that he was killed then.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he can't be killed because he's a candidate, right? He was one of the candidates.
As it is right now, yeah.
So
he's not killed until later.
Because a lot of people believe, because a lot of times you see Locke comes out, we see Jack's dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just seems that... Well, there's Locke. Oh, there's Jack's dad. There's Locke. There's Jack's dad. And then people started putting two and two together later on. I mean, not right now, but later on when the more information comes out. Oh, wait, was Locke already dead? And that was he already had his body? But anyway, I don't think it was. I'm just saying that was a lot of theories back then.
A lot of theories. It was directed by Jack Bender, written by David Fury, Locke-centric. I remember we had the script to this, and the whole Rose scene was different. They kind of changed it later, but we found out that in that anyway, that they had kids, all this kind of stuff that didn't actually end up being a part of how they decided to use that character, which was interesting.
Well, I also wanted to point out, too, that when Michael gets hurt, and Locke's laying there, and he's saying, "Helen, Helen." I remember at the time, oh, if he not being able, he cannot, you know, what's going on with his legs? He doesn't help Michael and Kate get back to camp. He goes off on his own.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what I can't do. Right. That pretty much sums up Locke's personality.
Sure. Yeah.
They stay true to the character.
Yeah.
Whereas he's
stubborn.
I'm stubborn. I'm out here to kill a boar. I'm gonna kill a boar. What a Bora Bora. What a leader should do is help get the guy back.
I'm not beating that subject over the head anymore than we already had. But
anybody should help the injured guy get back to camp. Then you go back and get the boar.
Absolutely, but that's not Locke. That's not how he is.
Now, do you think Kate dropped it on purpose? The transmitter.
No, I think she messed up. That's in a later episode. So why don't we get going on to the later episodes?
Okay.
It was that episode. I apologize.
It was that episode because I'm looking right at it. My notes.
Sorry. Let's go to White Rabbit, where we have I did want to say that was aired October 13th and had 18.16 million viewers. So the highest viewed episode of the series.
That was higher than the pilot.
Almost higher than the pilot. Pilot had 18.65.
18.6 million people. Wow.
Then we go to White Rabbit, which was a Jack-centric episode, kind of going into his past and kind of learning about his father and the strained relationship that they have. And that's why he's actually in Sydney, because his father is dead. And he sees his father.
We don't know.
Something they started in Walkabout. We didn't know at first. But then eventually found out that is his father, the man that he's seeing. And he discovers the caves, and I forgot about the essential role the caves play. You know, you just forget the little things.
Yeah, I did forget about the caves also, and you forget that it's his dad with a vision he sees, mm-hmm. which we assume is Man in Black, don't we?
What do you mean?
Don't we assume that the Man in Black is that he led them to. But again, why would a bad guy lead them to water?
Or was he leading them to his body, which is in the caves? Who knows?
That could be it. There could be several theories on that, but it had to be Man in Black in his body, because we never see Christian's body, do we? No, never
we
find
never
it.
Do. Because he does find the coffin inside the caves and breaks it up, and there's nothing there. But we have at the beginning of the episode, we found out Charlie can't swim, and even though
no, he says I don't swim.
That's true. I don't swim.
This comes into play later on.
It does. That's what I'm saying, because it became a big subject of debate.
But I remember the time, because we had emails, phone calls, there was discussions on boards. But if you go back, they were pretty clear. I don't swim,
mm-hmm.
is what he says.
I don't swim.
I don't do it.
But
Joanna dies.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's sad, you know?
Yeah.
I've always found that kind of opening scene a little bit disturbing, because you just kind of hear her crying and screaming for help, and you know Jack
saves Boone, and of course Boone, why did you love? Because you want to drown.
Yeah, Boone's annoying. I forgot how annoying Boone was.
Yeah, he's like the
he's your typical young idealist guy,
right. And he's not a bad guy.
No.
He just thinks he can do more than what he is a lifeguard though, isn't he?
That's what he said.
But swimming in the ocean, the currents are completely different than swimming in a pool.
It's
I don't know if there's a lifeguard in a pool or an ocean. If you've ever been in an ocean, you got to be careful, because there are currents and stuff like that. And if you get caught in one,
you can't die.
Only Jack the Doctor can save you.
I mean, even then, you don't mess with it. I mean, especially growing up in something in the beaches, you know, if you have a rip current or something like that, it can take you away, and people drown. It's not.
I've been caught in one, and I was lucky. That's all I'm going to say.
Were you on like a boogie board or something? Or?
No, I was body surfing. A boogie boarder saved me.
Boogie boarder saved you. Okay.
I was like going way out. I tried swimming this way. I started remembering all the rules. Okay, swim sideways, swim against it, swim towards it, swim this way. I'm tired.
That's what happens. You eventually wear out. And then...
Yeah, I was exhausted. Yeah, luckily, I was young and in shape.
So if Jack would have done it, it wouldn't have worked out so well.
I could probably drown in a foot of water right now. I'm tired.
We then go to House of the Rising Sun, a sun-centric episode that
you've left out that Locke saves Jack in this episode.
He does.
Because Jack is chasing after his dad, his image, falls over and Locke saves him.
Yep.
And Jack just laughs. And they have that famous talk where, you know, they're looking for a leader.
Yep.
Anyway. Doesn't he come back and give the famous speech, Live Together, Die Alone?
He does at the end of this episode.
Are you saving that for the end of the...
Well, I'm trying to taper it with the discussions about the further things.
Okay.
More just kind of quickly recapping. But bring up whatever you want. I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to stifle.
I'm just saying that's a pretty important speech.
It is.
Not that anybody.
If we don't stay together, we're gonna die alone.
You got to slow down though. If we don't stay together, now say it.
We're gonna die alone.
There you go.
I'm pretty good at doing his whiny kind of name.
There you go. You have whiny Jack down pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He'll never be on the show now.
Where are you?
All right, Kate. See how young they are.
Too. I know.
That's the thing. You look at them and go, man, they're so young.
Even Hurley, you know, we've known Jorge for a long time. It's just he seems so young, even just the way he talks and everything.
Because now I call him Grandpa. But I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But it was a decade ago, so that's what happens after 10 years pass.
I look the same.
Yeah, sure you do. House of the Rising Sun, the Sun-centric episode. Something that this episode was a really emotional episode for me the first time watching it. And subsequent views, it doesn't hold the same impact for me because we get the Jin flashback later on in the season where you kind of understand his side of the story. But just that last scene where she's walking away from him in the airport and she's trying, she's like struggling with making that decision. And then in the end, he shows her the flower and she comes back. Just again, one of those moments where amazing scenery with amazing music, just a really emotional scene.
And guys playing at home, that's all it takes. Flower? But I think he was showing, it was the old Jin.
Yeah.
He was showing, I think maybe getting away from the father, you know.
Well, again, we found in his flashback that he's still there and there's still the threat of him.
Right.
And the watch, Michael's watch that he steals, and that's why he attacks him and kind of sets up the struggle. And we find that Sun speaks English and she
does.
And it was a big reveal at the time. And she explains so she can get Jin out of the situation that he's in. But just pretty crazy. We also have the love relationship between, or at least whatever you want to call it, between Jack and Kate growing in this episode. At least their flirtatious life.
There was also, I forgot, there was a Saeed was part of the picture at first,
he
too.
He was. Yes, he was.
It was Saeed, Jack, and Sawyer.
Yeah.
Kate was kind of all around all three.
Not, like, but she on, was Kate.
She was more flirting with. I think she was more. It was obviously she cared about Jack,
mm-hmm.
but she liked the bad boy Sawyer. But she also was. She seemed to be into what Saeed was doing. Also,
exactly. Yeah, so there was a thing there. It was too. Like,
and they were all kind of mentioning it too, kind of joking about it. Mm-hmm. And also, Kate mentions Jack's tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
And
yes,
Charlie says, "Oh, it's an inside joke."
Cute.
Cute. So we had some comedy, which is good.
And we had the discovery of the skeletons in there and the white and black stone.
Right.
Which later become a fairly reference scene by Damon and Carlton many times. And then that exact scene was replayed in the controversial episode Across the Sea.
Controversial. People just hate.
People are entitled to their opinions.
And we found out Locke is a drive shaft fan.
He is. And Charlie exchanges Charlie's heroin for his guitar, which I thought was nice.
Is this where he starts the three strikes?
No, that's in The Moth. That's the next one.
Okay, The Moth. Okay.
This had 16.83 million viewers.
And Michael frees Jin.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts the handcuff that can never come off Jin's hand.
I don't think it comes off till season two.
So it's into season two because I think we talked about it on the podcast.
Oh, we did. We did. Again,
we kept bringing it up.
I know it was in the hatch that he broke it off. I know that.
Right.
But yes, you're right. Because remember, others take him. Or not the others. I'm sorry. The Tailies.
The Tailies take him.
Take him. So then it takes him a while to get back home.
Him and Son seemed like they were always apart.
They were. Poor guys. And they ended up having to die. Horrible. Horrible.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
What? They all die eventually, right?
Spoiler alert. They were dead the whole time.
No, come on now. We're not perpetrating that rumor. or myth or whatever you want to call it. The incorrect theory. Then we go to the Moth, the Charlie-centric episode. Again, kind of a sad story.
I forgot how good this episode was.
It is fantastic. And again, I know that you have your troubles with Locke, but I think there's those moments where Locke really understands what the island is, right? It's something special. It's something that, in the end, when you look at the end of the entire show, Locke was right about the island.
He was right about that, but his way of doing things was wrong.
Sure, but he was right. He was the only one that got it, and it took until him dying for Jack to understand that. Which then coalesced and brought about the end of the show as a whole and where it went to. And Jack, you know, assuming the role of Jacob to kind of save the island from the Man in Black. All of that is because Locke truly understood why the island was special.
Again, my hate, special. I don't hate Locke. I just hate the fact that he was given a second chance. He was given a second chance. He was the most knowledgeable person on the island. But his demons, he couldn't control his demons.
Well, again, I think I
do like the fact as a character, he's a great character. He's probably the best character on the show, mm-hmm. because they stayed true to his character, and that's why I always give the writers credit. They didn't, you know, say okay, he's this way, boom, he's this way.
Sure,
he stayed true to his. He had demons, he had issues, and most of the issues were not his fault. It was just. He had a lot of bad things happen to him, and he couldn't control those demons, and that eventually led to his downfall, his death.
So that had 18.73 million viewers, wow. And it just has Charlie's, you know, it's kind of heroic overcoming of his heroin addiction.
But he couldn't have done it without Locke.
I know exactly.
Well, Locke made a good point. You're going to run out.
Might as well be on your own terms.
Until this Nigerian plane crashes. Or it's already crashed.
It is already crashed.
And you just got to find the Virgin Mary statues.
Yes.
With lots of heroin in them. Yes. And you can just be high to the end of time. But no, Locke is... I give Locke credit when he's the reason Charlie got kicked off the... initially kicked the habit.
Well, he never did. He did. We ever officially confirm that he took the heroin again? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. He had the Virgin Mary statue
there,
but I don't think he ever took it. I don't remember him taking it.
No, I think there was just that one scene in the. Again, it's another one of those episodes that generally is not liked. Fire plus water. I believe it was at the end of that one where he looks at. He kind of just closes in him looking at the Virgin Mary statue.
Right.
It might have been in that one. It might have been another one around it. But again, another fantastic first flashback episode for Charlie. We learned about Driveshaft, the relationship between his brother, all that led to his addiction. And then really, it always ticked me off that Liam brought Charlie to this, you know, and basically took him along. And then when Charlie needed Liam, he didn't want to do it.
No, he wasn't there for him.
And again, I understand that he was clean and all that kind of stuff, but he didn't want
to do the band again.
Yeah.
Because I think Liam knew that was his downfall.
Yeah,
and his weakness. He couldn't. I mean, it wasn't going to save Charlie from stop doing heroin, getting the band back together. Charlie had to just get clean, mm-hmm. and Liam was clean. Liam did. You kind of look at his side. I wouldn't want to go back to anything that could possibly get me hooked on, you know, a powerful drug like that again.
Yeah.
So I kind of see Liam. Maybe Liam could say, "Look, Charlie, I gotta get you. Let's don't do the band. Let's get you some help. Let's get you cleaned up."
Yeah,
he didn't offer that. He just said, "Oh, I can't. They won't do the band without you. They won't do this."
Well, again, I think that just goes to show Liam's very selfish. Always has.
Is he selfish, or is he just saying, "Look, I guess
he's selfish."
I'm gonna say he's not 100% selfish. He didn't want to go back to that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You can't, and that wasn't gonna save Charlie. Going back to the band was not gonna save Charlie, was it?
No, absolutely not. With the island being kind of removed from everything is what, arguably, you could say saved him.
Right, or killed him, but
Save
but I don't
soul.
Think I don't think Liam was being selfish. I think Liam was doing. You know, he has a family. He also has a family, mm-hmm. and his number one priority is his family, his daughter. He had a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. So his number one priority is his wife and daughter.
I get that.
I mean, you obviously Charlie's his brother. He's blood, mm-hmm. but you still have to be there for your child.
Sure,
that's all I'm saying. we also get the first Scott and Steve joke.
Was it in this one or is it the next one?
It's this one because I wrote down Scott. I'm Scott.
That's Steve. Right. I'm Steve. Yeah.
So we get the Scott and Steve jokes.
So good. So good. All right. Next episode is Confidence Man, the Sawyer flashback episode. Some would say the 10th episode. but it's actually the 8th episode. written by Damon Lindelof.
I thought this was the 9th episode.
And this aired November 10th at 8.
Don't tell me why I can't count.
So the Shannon is having asthma issues, and they think Sawyer has it because Boone saw his book Watership Down, one of those big early references to a book that's brought up.
But it was actually Boone's book.
It is Boone's book. So he thinks it's in. He got it from his luggage, which there was extra inhalers for Shannon. So it becomes
because Shannon doesn't pay attention to her medicine.
Because it's not cool to breathe, man.
Yeah,
not cool. So we kind of dig into what the letter is. Find that Sawyer's not his real name; it's an alias.
Kate reads the letter.
She does, and I was trying to
out loud.
At first, it's implied that Sawyer is the man in the letter, and that's a kid that you know wants to kill him. But at the end of the episode, found out that actually it is Sawyer who wrote that letter. And then he became the man who was
hunting. Had the bicentennial stamp.
Yep. He became the man that he was hunting, which is the tragedy out of all of it. You have a flashback where it kind of shows his long con, and he drops it once he finds out the kid involved. Not the most revealing flashback. I mean, I guess it kind of shows that character, but when you look in the scheme of things, I wouldn't put it up there as one of the greatest flashbacks.
No, but it does show that there is two sides to Sawyer.
Yeah.
There's the angry jerk on the island Sawyer. And then there's the guy that has a heart. We can see in the flashback, he looked at the kid, he sees himself and the kid, and he goes, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just, and you also see it on the island at times.
Yeah.
And at the end, he does become the other side. He does become the guy people can count on.
Yeah.
Whereas beginning, he's just a jerk. But I think that's just a front he puts up so he won't be hurt.
Exactly. It's to protect himself.
Protect himself because he always and even time he starts to feel a little better, he reads that letter and he just gets the anger comes back. Mm-hmm. It's like he's just been reading it over and over again. So I the flashback wasn't oh my god the greatest flashback ever, but it did show that there
it's
was
so solid. It was very solid.
It showed that there was a good side to Sawyer, which again stays true to the character. At the end, you couldn't say, well, out of nowhere, Sawyer becomes a good guy. No, he did have it to time. Like he breaks up the fight between Michael and Jen. He's the one that rushes in there and breaks with him and Saeed. They break it up, which is always funny because that's not something Sawyer would do. Get involved in something like that. Mm-hmm. So that there is a good. Sometimes he slips. There's a good Sawyer. Good Sawyer, bad Sawyer.
But really, you have Saeed, Gerard, the Tortura. Torturing for the first time, at least on the show that we saw, and he basically takes the torture all for a kiss, which that was a pretty good kiss. Would you take bamboo reeds up the fingernails to kiss Evangeline Lilly?
In a second, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
You know, I'm just going to be honest. I think most guys out there probably go, yeah, okay.
I'd go for that.
And to be fair, Josh Holloway didn't have to have the bamboo. I mean, I'm sure he was acting.
It wasn't method acting where they actually had it so the pain looks real.
Method acting. Would you take that pain? If you didn't have the inhalers, would you take the pain? Would you go through, because he's so stubborn, would you go through that knowing you didn't have him?
Are you kidding me?
I'd be like, I wouldn't be hoarding a bunch of stuff.
Exactly. You're not Sawyer. So
no.
The question becomes moot because you're just not that kind of person.
No. So I guess I'm not getting the kiss.
I guess not. But Saeed sets off to explore the island because he did something that, you know, he said he would never do again.
Only problem I had with this scene,
what?
When you see Saeed walking away,
uh-huh.
from the long shot, there's already footprints in front of him, and they stop at a certain point.
Well, they had we had to reshoot it a few times.
I'm sure. Well, if you know, working with Cliff,
there have been other people that's walking down there, you know.
But it stops, so it's like they probably went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I look for things like that. I'm sure it wasn't maybe, but like I watch a lot of westerns, and when they're on like when they're riding the horses, you can actually see tire. If you look closely on the, if you watch a western and they're on like a dirt road, you can actually see the tire marks from the cars that are filming the trucks that are filming. Not to ruin westerns for anybody, but I see it all the time.
Can't just enjoy the show, huh?
It's just how I'm. That's how I'm built. It's how I'm wired.
With that leads into Solitaire, which is Saeed's first flashback episode.
Probably one of my favorite episodes.
Really?
Well, it leads to a great theory.
Yes, it does. We have Saeed who goes along the beach and finds a cable that goes into the water.
Because you can confirm this from the start of that episode. I go, what's the other direction?
Yeah.
What's cooking the, is it just a power source? What's the deal? Right away I started thinking, what's going on? Oh, we didn't talk about Saeed got knocked out too in the episode before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they're triangling the thing and Locke throws Sawyer on the bus.
That's right. Yes. I forgot it.
And
yes.
I think that was one of the first times I was ever right on something. Cause I predicted who it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Good for you. Good for you.
Before we even had a podcast, I said, I know it is. Can't trust the guy.
Can't trust the bald guy because I can't trust myself.
Exactly. I knew that I was lying the whole time. See, too many episodes.
Yes. Way too many. So we find who the woman for the distress signal is Rousseau. And she's crazy. She tortures Saeed.
This has always bothered me. Rousseau is not that big.
Mm-hmm.
How does she get him down the stairs, the little into the hole she's in, onto that metal bed, the Spock spring, by herself?
Over time.
But how did she get him down the stairs? Because you see it when she hears it, she climbs out. She goes up a ladder. How did she get him down there?
She's strong.
All right.
She's island strong, you know?
I forget she's island strong.
Island strong. It's a thing.
It's always bothered me. And every time I see it, I go, not buying it. Okay. Well, Saeed's not a big guy, though. I will give him that. He's not a big guy.
For the first time, we're introduced to the concept of the others and their carriers of a sickness.
Yeah. I never bought the sickness.
And why'd you never buy the sickness?
I just never, because remember there was a big thing. I go, I don't think there's going to be a sickness. I go back and check our tapes.
Check the tape.
I pretty much said, no, there's no sickness. But you are true about the others. And she keeps saying Alex. Alex and Saeed keeps asking who Alex is.
And we finally find out that it's actually her kid. We don't find out that it's her daughter yet, though.
No.
Which is kind of cheating. But again, Alex could be both the girl's and boy's name with Alexandra.
We find out about the Black Rock.
We found out, we're asked about the Black Rock for the first time.
Whispers.
The Whispers. A lot of mythology stuff is in this episode.
Shannon is working hard on the beach in a bikini. But Hurley invents a golf course, makes a golf course.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love watching back now. You can see Ethan and all these different things.
Right.
Which you didn't really notice it the first time around.
And I forgot about the paranoid guy. I forgot all about him. I said, oh, no, I forgot about him. Forgot all about him. Man. It's funny how you forget certain things.
Yeah.
See, Ethan is good friends with John Locke.
Yes. What are you trying to say? So we also are introduced to Saeed's Nadia in the flashbacks. He takes a bullet for her that he chooses himself. And, you know, again, I think the chemistry between the two of them was so great. And we've had Andrea Gabrielle on the show before. And their chemistry is just fantastic, really good. And it just it still always bugs me that it was Shannon that he was in the church for. I know there's probably some way to get them both
because
together.
Because on the back of her photo, she writes, "Not you'll find me in this life, or if you'll find me in another life, if not this one." So they're setting it up. She should have been the one.
I know.
If I completely forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the chemistry with them, because Shannon was just, it was someone he fell in love with.
Yeah, over it was an island fling.
An island fling. Obviously, he cared about her.
Yeah.
But he took a bullet for her. Mm-hmm. He cared about her. He was willing to die for her. Not that he was willing to die for Shannon, but again, I agree with you. She should have been the one. It should have been Nadia and not Shannon.
Yep. Concur.
Not that it ruined the finale episode, but if you're staying true to it, it should have been Nadia.
Yep. I agree.
And there's no such thing as monsters.
There's no hopefully it's a polar bear. It's a security system. All right.
Yes.
That's kind of an answer, right. Maybe. We then go to the last episode we're going to cover today, which is Raised by Another. Taking a look back, December 1st, 2004, 17.15 million viewers, written by Lynn E. Litt and directed by Marita Grabiak.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Did they take a lot of – were they just episode after episode after episode?
No, I was going to bring that up. Looking back on these dates it wasn't bad starting out. It wasn't bad starting out. It actually looks like they're pretty consistent up until they took their Christmas break. So they left December 8th, right. Came back January 5th. It was the 5th, 12th, 19th, then February 9th, 16th, 23rd. And this is where it started to get a lot of breaks. There was two episodes in March, one episode in April.
Did the ratings start to slide?
No, actually picked up. It was still in the 17s. It started to really pick up to the season finale where it had its highest rating, which was a 20.7.
Huh. Okay. So it didn't hurt them by taking those breaks.
Well, it did. It built up to February. It was almost 20. Homecoming was
19.48. Okay.
Actually, even in January, Hearts and Minds was 20.8. So actually, that could have been the highest one. So 20.8 was the highest, and it was Hearts and Minds, the boom.
So maybe there was so much talk going on.
Actually, hold on, even more. I'm sorry. 21.5, whatever the case may be, the Kate-centric episode. Not a very strong episode, in my opinion.
Whatever the case will be.
So that was the first episode coming back from their Christmas break in January.
All right.
But still, fairly consistent ratings throughout.
Yeah, because we weren't part of the community yet.
We were
so
not.
I don't know what, I just would like to know what was the people, maybe people listening that watched it from the start.
Mm-hmm.
What was that break like? Oh, my. I mean, I remember after watching the the season DVDs and having a week. What? I got to wait a week? But then when the second season, when they would have a break and it's go like 3-4 weeks, it was like. It's like, come on. But then when we start getting a lot more podcasting, listeners, then it means like, okay, we could use a break because we got to catch up on all the stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
But as a fan, the breaks I didn't like the breaks. They were too much.
Well, there you go.
I just wonder how people back then were there message boards already? Were people already?
Yeah, absolutely.
So people were talking about this and going.
The Fuselage, that was the message board.
That's right. So, I guess they did have an outlet to go.
Lost-TV.com.
Yeah,
there's
right.
A lot of stuff out there.
Okay.
I think it was Lost-Forum as well was a big one.
I remember that, yeah.
So closing out, we're going to talk about Raised by Another, the Claire-centric episode. A very trippy episode.
You're a big Claire fan.
I was starting out as a Claire fan, but she was already fairly – looking back, she was already fairly annoying in this episode.
But to be fair, she was pregnant, being sand fleas and, being...
Yeah, it's not easy.
For a pregnant person who's living in an air-conditioned house, it's still not 100% comfortable.
Sure.
You've been there. You understand that now. So can you have a little more sympathy for her because she's on a beach?
But I mean, it's Hawaii. I mean, come on, that's like people pay money to have a what's called a baby moon.
I don't care. So if you're 8 months pregnant, I don't care where you are. So what was more annoying, looking back on this, Claire waking up from a dream or Claire yelling at Charlie?
Well, I will say it was great already getting the Charlie. It's my baby.
So was that more annoying or the scream? Because that was that's
an intense scream. Look at me, I was like,
that's
dang,
that is great acting.
Whew. I'm scared. but yeah. So this one definitely a little creepy. It starts out with a creepy dream. The first of the creepy dreams.
Put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day. Oh, I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself.
Yes, a little bit. In the flashbacks, we find what's her boyfriend's name again? I already forgot the name.
Thomas. Didn't you just watch this?
I did, but I already forgot it. That's how little he means
and
to me.
And I said I didn't watch it, but I'm gonna go back and watch it because
I think you were watching it as we were getting ready to record.
I was watching it. So I saw it was Thomas, but I knew it was Thomas.
Thomas, why? What are you thinking now? I know you think I ate all the chips, but there's still another one in there.
Thomas seems like he's like going to be the greatest dad in the world.
Mm-hmm. And then just turns on a dime.
So you know what? Don't want to do it. Was there more to Thomas's story? Because we never saw him again, did we?
No, that was
We did see him on The Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
But we didn't see him...
Very
anymore.
Creepy on The Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, but he wasn't...
He's an artist there as well, though.
Right, but he wasn't... And there was no more Thomas.
I guess they didn't feel they needed to go back to him.
Even a backstory, right? That was it. That was Thomas's only episode he was in.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep. It's true.
I mean, Claire didn't go... You know, her final scene wasn't with Thomas. You know, it was with Charlie, so...
Yeah. Anyway. No, you're right.
Thomas is a jerk.
You are right. Ethan is more prominent in this episode. You know, Claire's having these crazy nightmares. She thinks somebody's trying to get her.
Jack doesn't believe her.
And Hurley starts a census. And Boone even has a problem with it. You know, he's like, I don't feel comfortable, you know, starting our own very own Island Patriot Act. Definitely dates the show a little bit.
So Boone and myself are... kind of on the same page as far as the census.
Yes, he does not like the
so
census.
So if Hurley came up to me, I'd be like, dude, no, I'm not giving you that info.
Back off, so, man.
Can't give you my info, man. Because, you know, if you've listened to other podcasts, I was...
You do not like censuses.
I think there was me and two other people were disagreed about this. Don't think there should be a census, but the rest of the world does.
There you go.
Okay. It's okay.
And we find out that Hurley gets the manifest from Sawyer and actually, you know, smooths them over to get it from him. But there's another person. There's someone that isn't on the list. And Ethan, very creepily, is there with them, and it closes out the episode. Very creepy.
Right. So we don't know for sure it's Ethan, right?
Pretty much know that it's Ethan.
Do we know it from the next episode, or we know because we've already
discovers
seen
that Ethan is not on the plane? That's what he says.
Okay, Ethan's not on the plane. He says Locke's best friend is not on the plane.
Well, we get more detail on that in All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, which is what we'll cover next week, but or not next week, 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now.
But yes, that is what is going on there. So. A very good episode and closes out a very good run of episodes. This is the first half of season one. I mean, and generally, again, I've said it many times, arguably season one is the best season of TV.
I know there's episodes people don't like, but so far, it's like I'm watching going, I got to see the next one. I got to see the next. I love season one.
I agree completely. So let's get into top five pivotal moments from these episodes. Are you ready, Jack?
So you're doing each five?
No. Each, top five just from all from of these episodes.
Okay. I was like, wow, this is like going to be a 9-hour podcast.
No. All right. So number one, Locke can walk.
Yeah, that's got to be. Well, shouldn't you have gotten five to built it up to number one?
I kind of did it in order of the episode.
Because, you know, hey, Locke can walk. That. And everything else is like, okay, well. Anyway, go ahead. It's your show. Go ahead.
But yes, Locke can walk. It becomes a major, basically kind of has everybody bought into what this show is as a viewer, and also as a main driving force in the show. Like, what is, how can the island do something like that for somebody? What is,
yeah, how can you walk again? What's the deal? Why is he so knowledgeable?
And it shows there's something greater at work here than just randomness.
And Walkabout is a great episode, even if you didn't know he could walk. I mean, obviously that was the icing on the cake. But it's just a fantastic episode.
It is.
I think Terry O'Quinn's just an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's amazing on the show. And I think the music just, it was just a fantastic episode. That's all I got to say.
I agree. I agree completely. Number two, Adam and Eve. At the time, seems relatively small, but you look at the grand scheme of the show, Adam and Eve become a linchpin, a pivotal part of the entire show in terms of the battle between the Man in Black and Jacob.
It's Mom and Man in Black, not Adam and Eve, as we find out later on, right?
Yes, yes. But at the time, that's what it was called, Adam and Eve.
Right. Well, I think it's Locke coined it, our own Adam and Eve.
Yes. And, you know, early on, I think it was season two, Carlton Cuse referenced that the Adam and Eve is going to be very important.
I know a lot of people said the big, because Jack makes a statement saying, oh, the deterioration of the clothes was 40 to 50 years.
Yeah.
But people were like, oh, a lot of people harped on that one line.
But even then, he's not a paleontologist, and
no.
You don't know about the properties of the island and how it could change the clothes. You just don't know.
Exactly. You don't know, bud.
You don't know.
You just don't know.
So, number two. Number three, Vision / the Smoke Monster. I mean, part Vision with seeing, is it a Vision or is it the Smoke Monster, as Christian, as well as a Smoke Monster approaching Locke.
I do like how Jack turns to Kate. Did you see it? Did you see him? And Kate's like, her look was it was great acting on her part. It looked like, dude, it's crazy. It's like she doesn't want us to call him out, but she's kind of like,
dude, settle down. You got some issues.
You got some issues.
I know we kind of named you the leader, but dang, you got some issues.
I don't know if we should. You're not leader material. I think I wish Saeed wouldn't have walked away.
Number four, the others / we're not alone.
Right. Is it the whispers that she's talking about? What is she talking about? Who are the others?
Well, that becomes just a greater point and pretty much drives season two, season three. I mean, that's Benjamin Linus. I mean, there's so much that comes from the others and that battle between the original inhabitants of the island and the current ones. I mean, just so much of the greater story mythology is from the others, and we're introduced to that, you know, in this very early episode in the show.
Well, that's another thing. What brought me to a theory I had where it was turned out to be false, a bad theory, but she didn't know there was a plane crash. Well, how could she not hear there was a plane crash?
Mm-hmm. Because she's plane crazy crash. In her little bunker.
Well, I get that, but she didn't know, or she didn't want to know, but that led me to believe it was faked. And even Saeed says, we should have died. You know, there was all these things that I go, yeah, you should have died. We shouldn't have survived the plane crash. So I had this long run out theory, and, well, it didn't pay off.
And number five, Claire gets taken. We forget that Claire's then, you know, not really on the show for a while until later in season one.
Which you sobbed a lot. You cried.
So there you go. Top five pivotal moments.
How does Bernard being alive, not Rose believing Bernard is alive, not make it?
I guess that could be pivotal. We'll put that in there.
Pivotal in my mind.
Honorable mention.
Okay,
now it's time for I want some friggin' answers. With eight episodes, we have quite a few, and there's probably even some that I missed. Number one, what did Locke see? That was one for a while. Did we find out what Locke saw?
Whatever he was shown.
We don't know for sure, but we assume it was the smoke monster.
Well, they see visions. It had to be the smoke monster.
Yeah.
But they're shown, because was it Echo? Who's the one?
There's a theory that there was a white one, possibly, again, all that kind of stuff. I don't think that was.
It's still Man in Black.
Yeah.
But who was the one where they? I remember because there was things that we. Was it Echo? that looked into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he saw things.
Yeah.
Well, whatever he was seeing was his way of manipulating Locke. He showed Locke things that he wanted, that kind of changed Locke's direction on the island.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of changed his thought process on the island.
I think so, because I think he saw this thing, this great.
He saw the thing that this is what I'm supposed to do, but it was Man in Black showing him what he wanted, what Locke wanted to see. So whatever he saw, I mean, we never got an answer to what he saw, but it was something that whatever it was made Locke believe that this is what his destiny was. That the island was so important. That's why he knocked Saeed, allegedly, knocked Saeed out because he doesn't want to get off there. They're not meant to get off the island.
Yeah.
That's what he believes. And
he was right since they all had to go back.
Well, I guess he was right.
Number two, how did Locke lose his ability to walk? So how did he get in the wheelchair?
We find out.
We do find that out. It was Sawyer, the original, his OG, his father.
Set myself free.
How did Locke get his ability to walk back?
The magic of the island.
Yeah, I would say the healing properties that the island does have.
Yeah.
It also cured Rose's cancer.
Right.
So the properties, whether they're I'm assuming magnetic.
It didn't help Paranoid Guy, though.
It did not. But magnetic is what helped heal Locke's ailment to his back. Number four, what did Jack do to his father? We do find that out in All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues.
Yeah, because his mom's giving him a hard time.
Yes, and he turned him in for getting drunk on the job, which we'll discuss soon on the next episode recap podcast. Number five, what happened to Christian Shepherd's body? We don't know for sure, really. This one is kind of one of those still up in the air.
The boars get it? It's dragging off in the woods?
The boars could have gotten it. Did Man in Black do something with it? Did the airline just not put it in there just to appease Jack? That
was but then why would we? Then why would we see his body? But Jack saw him off the island too, didn't he?
Yep, or it was like a glimpse, but yeah.
Or was that Jack just on drugs?
Could have been. Because remember, that was flash forward time.
Right.
Just something to think about.
Okay. All right.
Why did Christian go to Australia in the first place?
Well, that was a theory I had, and it kind of came out true.
Yes, he is Claire's father.
Right.
He's going to try and find his daughter. So Claire
I'll wait till we get to that episode, but that was kind of a theory I had. I think I get kind of a half point for that.
What's going on between Sun and Michael?
God, I forgot
I think
there was
a relationship,
that,
but
you forget that it was that, because a lot of people thought that, you know, there was a lot more going on there, and I go, what are they but you sit there and watch these episodes, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely, I think that Michael respects Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Almost probably like Jin did in the beginning of their relationship, until he got under the father-in-law's thumb and he just felt resentful towards her.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that Michael was treating her how Jin treated her in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe just get, you know, treat her as respect, because you see how Jin is, you know, button up your shirt, do this, go take a bath, you're dirty. You know, he's not treating her like an equal. He's treating her like, you know,
yeah, no.
I mean, kind of like a dog, basically. You know, he's treating her like crap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see where I'm at now. Oh, what did Jin do? He comes in the room with bloodied hands and arms.
He beats somebody up.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does it for his father.
Yeah. And,
Father-in-law. And but yeah, he beats up a guy basically saving his life because he beats him up.
Right.
And
Jin has a heart.
He does. Who are Adam and Eve? It is Man in Black and Mother.
Yes, it is.
Who is the real Sawyer?
Yep.
We are introduced to him in season one in Deus Ex Machina, and it is Locke's father.
Right. Which a lot of people had that.
They did, even that early on.
Yeah.
Where does the cable go to?
Well,
the underwater hatch.
Eventually find that.
The white rabbit.
Was it the fourth season that we had to wait for that long?
No, third season.
The third season?
Third season.
The Looking Glass Station?
Where is Rousseau's signal coming from? Do we find that out?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we actually go to that tower. It's pretty cool.
Well, they have control of it. Now, if they have control of it, why are they still sending the signal out?
I guess they don't care.
They don't care?
I guess not.
Or it's using that signal to block the other signals.
Mm-hmm. Who are the others?
We find out.
We do find out. It's basically the pawns of Jacob and Man in Black. Whoever is working who, primarily Man in Black, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are the whispers?
Michael.
Well, we found the kind of the lost souls on the island, really.
Lost souls, yes.
What is the sickness?
It wasn't as bad as it was bad for her group, but no, not as bad as it wasn't a big deal.
Okay.
The whole grand scheme of the show, mm-hmm. it was because I think later on Saeed comes back and talks about it. It's not as bad as what it's made out to be.
Basically, this is kind of the influence of Man in Black kind of taking over.
Right.
Number 16, why is Hugo's nickname Hurley?
He doesn't say. Well, we find out eventually, yeah.
We do find out eventually. It is because he puked, I believe.
Yeah.
And he nicknamed him Hurley. Number 17, why mustn't another raise Claire's baby?
Did we find out? It wasn't a big reveal, though, was it? It wasn't.
No, it wasn't necessarily revealed.
It wasn't the big answer we thought we were going to get.
And related to
it, turned out to be Kate. But there was no reason why she couldn't raise.
But she did have to come back.
She had to come back, but it helped her get
Claire. She had to try and raise a squirrel baby.
Maybe that was the baby that couldn't be raised by another. The fortune teller's got it messed up.
Did the psychic set up Claire to crash on 8:15? This one's never necessarily answered.
I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
He bought her the ticket, didn't he?
He did.
No, or did he tell her not to?
He bought her the ticket. He said, "Well, that's tomorrow. Like, it has to be this flight.
It has to be this flight." He knew. He knew. He knew.
Okay.
Was he working with Jacob?
Could be.
I guess we never find out, but I think we see later on Jacob has a hand.
Him later on in the show, and I can't remember if it's flash forwards or sideways or whatever, but he thinks that he is a fake, you know, whatever. So, could be before. I believe it was an Echo flashback, I feel.
Echo.
But definitely either Jacob was influencing him or he did actually have a psychic premonition, even though he did say he was a fraud earlier or later on. But I do believe that maybe he did become a real psychic. It happens. I've seen ghosts. Whoopi Goldberg's character. She was a fake, but then she became real. Remember? You remember, man.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
And Ethan Rom, who the heck is he?
Yeah. He's one crazy dude.
And also, I love the anagram.
Yes.
Which is breaks out.
He was also on Hawaii Five-0 this week.
Yes, he was.
Just last week.
Yes, he was. Yeah. That man, William Mathifer, is on everything.
You know who he's related to, don't you?
Tom Cruise.
My close personal friend, Tom Cruise.
Yes, your close personal friend.
Well, he follows me on Twitter. That makes us like buddies.
Closing out, we're actually about an hour and 8 minutes. Look at that. See?
Really? We haven't done the calls yet.
We haven't done the calls yet, but closing out the recap, again, fantastic episodes. And now it is time for Next on Lost. You ready?
The TV show.
Here we go.
Next on Lost. Next on Lost. The TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in a couple days. Next on Lost.
All right, it's next on Lost time. Next time on our episode-centric Lost podcast. We are going to be focusing on All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues.
I should write this down.
Which close out the first... Yes, you should. Which close out the first half of season one. And then the show came back with, whatever the case may be, a Kate-centric episode. Previous one was Jack-centric. Then we have Hearts and Minds, which is the Boone-centric episode. And Special, which is the Michael and Walt-centric episode.
Oh, I really like that one.
It's a good one. He's a good one. So that is what we're going to be covering on the next episode-centric podcast. And then our kind of in-between show where we interview podcasting friends, cast and crew. We're actually going to be talking with the creators and writers of Lost the Musical, new show.
Steven and Steven?
Steven and Steven from Lost the Musical. And we'll be talking with those guys and having them on the show. Talk about their
new
comedy musical. We met them at Comic-Con this year. And we're going to check in with those guys and see some of their favorite moments on Lost and have them talk a little bit about their musical that's playing right now in L.A. and is getting some positive reviews. So,
is it coming to Raleigh?
I don't know. We'll ask them. We'll ask them if it's coming to Raleigh. Happen in town. Raleigh, NC. Raleigh, NC. But yes.
Do the country version.
Oh, come on now. Raleigh is very sophisticated. We're not country out here. So, yes, should be fun next 2 weeks setting up for the Lost podcast. Now it is time for listener feedback. Jack, are you ready?
I am so ready.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, we're going to start off with some calls for listener feedback. We're going to start off with a couple from Shannon and then Danny. Here we go.
All right.
Hey, Jay and Jack. It's Shannon out in Tucson, also known as the Cake Lady. feels so weird calling back in about Lost. I know it's too late to get this in on the first podcast, but it's interesting because when Lost first came out, I had no interest in watching it because I saw the ads and I thought, oh, this just looks like Lord of the Flies, but for grown-ups. That's stupid. And it wasn't until season two when I happened to see a scene at a relative's house. They were watching the show when Michael was about to leave with Walt. And he just looks straight at Ben and he says, "Who are you people?" And, you know, Benjamin Linus, with all the calm that we have come to expect from him over the years, just went, "We're the good guys, Michael." And from that point, I was hooked. I was so intrigued and I needed to know about who this Ben person was, who this Michael guy was, what happened to his kids, what's going to happen to these people. And then I went back and watched it all from the beginning. But Lost was so amazing for me because I was a closet nerd at the time. When I'd been a kid, I'd been into weird stuff like unicorns and dragons and vampires and stuff that most of my peers were like, "That's weird, we're into Barbies." And so I never wanted to watch anything like nerdy or science fiction, and once I was hooked on Lost, it's like it opened the door for sci-fi for me. And so it's like after that I started watching Battlestar Galactica. I don't know, Lost making a really, really good show that had sci-fi elements made it amazing to watch, because then you could like love sci-fi without being ashamed of it because you were loving a good TV show. And then just the community that it built with people sharing theories, debating theories, voicing theories, your podcast made it not just a TV show, but it really did grow a community. So again, I'm sure this is way too late to get on the first podcast, but you said call anytime. So here's my call. And why I love Lost and my thoughts of it 10 years later, that it let me be the geeky sci-fi nerd that I am now, and that I love the community that it created. So can't wait to listen to the podcast, and I'll probably call in again as you guys go. Thanks for doing this. Bye. Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Shannon calling in again. I don't know if you're going to end up with two messages because it gave me a weird message and then I said to leave another one. So sorry for that. I'm probably going to call in again after watching more episodes, but heard the podcast, loved it. It's great to hear you guys talking about Lost again. when I think about Kate and I think about the pilot and how she's like, I'm going on this hike, I think at her core, Kate was always a good person, but I don't think she always believed she was a good person. So I think she had to take action, like going on the hike, trying to do good things for other people to convince herself that she was a good person. And also one of the questions you had was Shannon wearing, Shannon on the show, not me, wearing the bikini under her clothes. And I was watching a trailer for Lost season one because I was reminiscing and I missed the show. And it did look like she was wearing her bikini. I could see the top knot part of it poking out behind the back of her shirt. It looked like she was just wearing it under her shirt the whole time. So, talk to you guys later. And thanks again for doing the podcast. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Danny in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, I actually just started watching Lost 11 months ago from the beginning, from the pilot, for the first time. And I think it was when I was on season 4, episode Something Nice Back Home, I started listening to your podcast. And, after I watched each episode, like it's a post-game show, and I still do now. I'm now at the very beginning of season 6. It's great that you guys are back doing podcast, retrospect podcast of the first season for the 10-year anniversary. And I just want to say, I think it would actually be cool if you guys actually could do the Lost recaps for some episodes on the first season that you're going to do the podcast on. Because since you guys just started doing the podcast in season 2, I think it would kind of be cool to hear the Lost recaps for, you know, some of the classic season 1 episodes like Walkabout, Deus Ex Machina, Confidence Man, House of the Rising Sun, etc. So it would be cool to hear the recap for those episodes. Anyway, thanks for the podcast, Jay and Jack, and go Niners. Peace.
All right, thank you for those calls.
We had, Shannon, is it Kate Girl or Shannon?
Who's called Shannon? Yeah.
Shannon?
I like Shannon.
Well, she did.
Shannon!
That was a good. You're getting better at this.
You're right. You know,
I 9 years. It's like.
For 9 years, you know, watching a show,
it's like I'm working with Rich Little now. Do you know who Rich Little is?
No, but I assume he's like a modern day Frank Caliendo. No.
Yeah, exactly. Rich Little was like he was the guy in the 60s and 70s. You don't know who Rich Little is?
I've heard the name. Like, I know of him.
Okay. A little disappointed in you on that one. But that was a great Saeed impression. I like that.
Thank you.
That was Saeed, right?
Yes, it was okay. Saeed, yes.
Okay, I like that. First call was about her. She didn't start watching Lost until season 2. Mm-hmm. And it was the Michael episode where he's going away. You know, he's taking Walt off the island. And he goes, who are you people? So she got hooked on the show. She got hooked on the show, went back and watched it. But she also said that she was a closet nerd. Is Lost the show that made it okay to be a nerd? Because now it's you go to Comic-Con, you go anywhere. You know, I've always been a nerd, but I've always had to keep it. I got picked on enough. Mm-hmm. So it was like, okay, I need to hide my nerdness. Because it wasn't accepted. When I was a kid, it wasn't accepted.
To a certain extent, you talk about Lost, but I think shows before, like X-Files and Twin Peaks were kind of the first shows that went mainstream that were on a more nerdy level.
But look how Comic-Con exploded. I mean, I grew up in San Diego.
But again, I
never went to Comic-Con.
But again, Comic-Con exploded, yes. But it wasn't just Lost. Lost was.
I'm not saying just Lost. But
even then, in the 90s, while we were there, the show was getting, you know, upwards of 100,000 people. Sure, it added about another 50,000 and a lot of extraneous stuff, but it was pretty big back then. So I wouldn't contribute all of that to Lost. I think there were things before it, but.
But now you have all the Marvel movies, and it's cool to be a nerd now. Whereas before, like I said, growing up as a kid, you tried to hide your nerdness as much as you could because you got beat up.
I think you look at it, I think Lost is part of the greater focus on, because even when you look at Lost is very mainstream. I mean, there's a lot of sci-fi elements to it, mysterious elements, but overall, the show is fairly mainstream. It's not super nerdy.
She also mentioned BSG. It's got a lot of sci-fi, but it's also, like you said, BSG is also mainstream.
I would say BSG is far less mainstream than Lost.
But it has a lot of it was of today's top especially political. It was a lot of topics.
Yeah, it was very allegorical.
So, but also maybe podcasting and how the internet has made the world smaller. Mm-hmm. Maybe the nerds have a bigger voice. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but I mean, even then, that's pre-Lost. That's you know, late 90s.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was all Lost. I'm just trying to, you know, we're doing a podcast about Lost. Maybe I'd just, you know,
I get it. But I'm just saying, you know. While I agree, it was a big part of that movement. But I just think, because just society changed in general, it wasn't so much about the jocks. The jocks didn't inherit the earth. You wanted people with intelligence to run your companies because companies were, you know, more sophisticated. It wasn't about, you know, America shifted from this, you know, industrial, you know, where we made things like cars and, you know, all this different manufacturing was kind of what led it.
And now we don't make anything.
But now we're more technology based, right? We're the biggest technology creators, and we have so everything is more technology based. So it shifts, and who are the people that generally understand technology better? People with higher intelligence. People that can understand that better, and that's generally the domain of the more nerdy type people. So it shifted. It used to be the jocks were who you wanted because you wanted a guy that was tough, that could work the lines, that kind of stuff. But now the people that
the blue collar guys,
the blue collar. But now people that are more successful, and the jobs that are more plentiful are the jobs that are in the more technical field or jobs that require you to have a certain level of intelligence to perform at a high level.
But overall, it's okay to be a geek now.
You have this societal change.
How Apple, how the new phone comes out, and people will camp out for days to get it, mm-hmm. and it's a big deal. And they're going for like $1,300 on eBay because they can't get them. Mm-hmm. You know, I got one, and people are like, "Oh my God, you're so lucky!" I go, "Well, I just got it basically because my phone died. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was dying. I had to get a new phone. I was due for a new phone, ordered it, and got it.
Yeah,
I didn't wait in line. I didn't." I would have been perfectly.
It's a societal shift.
I'm a geek, but I guess I'm not a material geek type thing. I mean, I don't get excited about getting things like that. I mean, I'm glad I have it.
Well, everybody has their toys that they like to get, right? You have things that you like. You like getting, you know, tools and stuff like that. So you have your stuff that you get excited that you're getting.
That's true. But it's like your mom's like, "I'm so excited. Aren't you excited?" I go, "Yeah, it's
Christmas every year. You like getting some stupid animal that lights up. I mean, you get excited about stuff."
Oh, for the outside?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I like socks.
Yeah. So see, you have your stuff.
I like socks. I'm perfectly
lame,
happy.
You have your stuff that you like.
Call me crazy. I like new socks.
But yes, Shannon, good stuff.
Danny, I hope. No, we had her other question, though. She had about Kate being so aggressive about saying, "I'm going," you know, she's always
I think it's a good point.
Was she trying to tell her, she says, was she trying to convince herself she was a good person?
I think so. Or just, trying to prove herself.
And she says Shannon was wearing her bikini underneath her clothes. She could see it underneath her clothes. So
there you go.
That solved that question. And Danny started watching Lost 11 months ago. Unfortunately, Danny, that's not one of the numbers. So I can't go anymore.
But yes, enjoy. And I don't know if we could do a recap because it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same as recapping it for the first time.
You had a pretty good idea last week after we recorded with Ralph.
What's that?
Do you want to tell the idea you had?
What was the idea that I had? I forgot it already.
You don't remember? Maybe having someone like Ralph on, maybe Jorge.
No, that's something that we're already going to do. I'm talking about going back and like
He was saying certain episodes.
Yeah, I think that we're going to try to do that, but I'm talking about more. He was thinking of going back and actually doing season one as if it was the Lost podcast, and that'd be tough. That'd be tough.
But he did say, he goes, just maybe recapping some of the better episodes, like do a walkabout recap or do a...
Sure. But even then, I don't know. It wouldn't be the same.
But we did do that. It's on the... Didn't we do that when we did the... Oh, we did two or three episodes at a time, right?
What, for the rewatch?
Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah. But no, anywho...
Anyway,
the retrospective is really what we'll have right now, and I don't know if we'll ever do that, because that would be... It'd be weird because it wouldn't truly be the same as it was for the Lost podcast where we did it live, essentially. And
do we have the ones where we did the commentary ones?
They're out
which
there.
Episode?
Those are
which? Which episodes do we do?
I don't know. You're asking me questions. I don't know. We made so many podcasts, but they're there.
I thought you were knowledgeable, but I guess you're not.
Yes. Let's go to our next set of calls.
Hi, Jay and Jack. It's Stephen Brandon, the writer of Lost the Musical here. Just wanted to thank you so much for mentioning us on your show. We've had a lot of people come to see the musical who said they heard about it from your podcast and they thoroughly enjoyed themselves. I also really enjoyed listening to Take Me Back to the Pilot, your first recap, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the recaps on this 10-year anniversary. Thank you once again so much, and namaste.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Kathy from Pittsburgh. I was just calling about the new set of episodes that we have to watch for this week. Just a couple of little things. I remember this happening whenever you guys talked about it last week, but during Tabula Rasa, Walt did say that Mr. Locke said a miracle happened to him. I'm sure you guys are going to bring this up on the show. I think that was the secret. I'm not sure if he told Walt exactly what happened, but that was probably the secret, and, you know, a lot of beat up. Also, White Rabbit, do we know why Christian left his wallet at the hotel? Did he know that he was going off to, you know, meet his death? Like, that really still doesn't make sense to me to this day. Also, it was kind of weird to me that pretty much every episode after Tabula Rasa, Hurley was, at first Hurley was, like, really concerned that Kate was a fugitive, and then he just kind of stopped caring, and, you know, Kate was all buddy-buddy with everybody. Now he just makes awkward comments about Jack and Kate instead of, you know, worrying about the fact that she did something that, you know, warranted her to be pursued by a U.S. Marshal. Other than that, I didn't really have too many things new that I picked up on, but I'm so looking forward to keep rewatching the show with you guys and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. This is Jason from Dallas. I was just calling to let you know that I love you guys. I don't want anything from you. I just want to tell you I love you. All right, bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
Kathy, the secret was that Walt was told that the island is special.
Yes.
But didn't he say, can you keep a secret?
Yes.
So secret I guess well? I guess Walt can't keep a secret.
I guess not.
So we can't trust Walt. Why did Christian leave his wallet? I think because he was really drunk.
Yeah. That's a very simple answer.
That's the only thing I can think of, that he was really drunk. And then that Hurley does no longer worry about. Remember, he was all stressed out about Kate. Mm-hmm. What's Kate doing? What's, you know, Kate's a fugitive. We're giving Kate a gun. And all of a sudden it's, hey, Kate, Jack. I think the reason he softens up because he has a lot of respect for Jack.
Yes.
You know, I think he sees Jack cares about Kate. And Jack and Hurley were really tight in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think he respected him. I think that's why he backed off the Kate hate and just said, okay, if Jack's cool with it.
The Kate hate a raid.
Yeah, so I think he's fine with it. So those are my three answers. I hope I'm right. Jason, he loves us. I mean, who doesn't? Really? Right? So am I right? And then that was Steven from Steven and Steven, the Lost Musical. I hope to hear more from him next week.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's go to a quick email that we have here. It's from our base, or in response to our second Lost podcast with Ralph. He said, this was the greatest podcast I've ever listened to. The recap of how Ralph got into the podcasting brought back so many memories. I can't remember how I even heard of podcasts, but remember, y'all were the first one I found, the Transmission shortly after, then the Smoke Hatch, and by the end I had three more. I listened to 6 podcasts a week, struggled with them all in before the next episode, but it was great. After Lost, I truly struggled to find a show and a podcast to listen to until I stumbled upon Game of Thrones and the Bald Move Network. Yes, I tried your VCast and the I'm Loaded cast, but those shows sucked and were consequently canceled. The guys at Bald Move also did a great Breaking Bad cast, as well as the showrunners of B&B. Then it ended. Once again, nothing but Game of Thrones and True Detective and Leftovers. Finally, I can't live in geek heaven again. 5 Leftovers podcasts later, I hear you guys talking about another Lost cast. Can this be good? I ask myself. It's so old, but I'll give it a try. Holy freaking poop. I'm right back in a rewatch and can't wait till next week. Please tell me you will contact the Smoke Hatch guys. Thank you for doing this and keep them coming. Tony Belkin, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, we had, I think they were on one of our Autism Speaks one.
I think so.
way back when. It's a matter of being able to find them.
Exactly. Listen, no stone's going to go unturned. It's fun getting reconnected with all of our old Lost podcasting buddies and some other
We've hired detectives, so hopefully we can find them. And
it's like the Oprah Winfrey. What does she do where she connects with people? It'll be like that. No. But yes, our plan is to try and to connect with a lot of our Lost buddies. And Lost
We have more money than Oprah, so we can do a better job.
Exactly.
Of finding these people. So there you go.
But anywho. So that is that. Thank you, Tony, for that awesome feedback. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a fun podcast last week. It just flowed. I mean,
and we love the Ball Move guys too. And I think we're also trying to get when we hung out with one of them at Comic-Con this year. So we're trying to. They're also in our plans to have a podcast with as well. A little crossover.
This podcast, this thing could last like 10 years.
10 years long. Our goal is to last long enough until they bring Lost back again.
Which is a rumor people are starting.
It is a rumor, but that'll be for another day, another podcast. But anywho, that is it. Action Jackson, is now time for your crackpot theory of the week. You ready?
I'm so ready.
All right, here we go. All right, what do you got for us?
Okay, I was kind of against doing this at first, but I'm watching this. I go, you know, when Jack and Charlie are in the cave, and it caves in. I think Locke caused the cave-in.
What?
I'm just saying, Locke caused
it. Whoa. Why?
This isn't a Locke cave. Because that's just what he does. He was trying to push Charlie up, the whole moth thing and how it's in a cocoon, how it has to work its way out. I think Locke caused the cave-in.
Wow.
Because when Charlie comes up to him, Jack's in a cave and oh, is he? Okay. He's caved in. All right. People are working on it. All right. Locke wouldn't be the first one to go and say, hey, I know how to get him out of there.
Huh.
Locke didn't care. Did he?
Yeah, but I think he was just saying, now there's enough people there. They'll figure it out. He knows what his strengths are.
He knows what his strengths are. Okay. I can't believe you said that with a straight face. I'm actually
not all of us hate him as much as you do, but yes.
And Tara Quinn is actually staring at me. The picture, that photo's up on the wall there. He's staring at me, so I kind of feel bad about saying it. But anyway, no, I think he caused the cave-in.
Wow.
I don't know how he caused it.
Okay. Hey, it was either
him or Man in Black, but I'm going to say it was Locke because Locke just didn't care.
Okay.
He's gutting that bar. Not gutting. He's, you know, skinning the boar and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But I think he would care a little more. What, Jack, the doctor is Locke. My hand chosen leader is in there. I need to go get him out.
Okay. Hey, it can't be disproven, right? That's the whole point. So that is
my crackpot theory. And I'm sticking to it.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good. But it's pretty crazy, though.
Well,
but
I had eight episodes.
It is the crackpot theory.
I had eight episodes to choose from.
Hey, I thought it was pretty good. Good job. All right, guys, that is it for this week's Lost Podcast. Give a call at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
It's 206-309-0311. Calling time for the questions, comments, and or theories. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. Also, send us an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. And again, if you want to listen to the other shows that we do, like The Married Man Show, Jay and Jack TV, and Survivor with Jay and Jack.
Also, Sports Talk.
Sports Talk with
Walking Dead Talk.
And with Walking Dead Talk. All for only one penny this month, starting out $2.99 thereafter.
I'm ripping paper.
All of our shows. So definitely check that out over at jandjacktv.com. We'll see you guys next week.
Bad news.
What?
Dodgers just tied it up.
Oh, no.
Boo.
Unless you're a JJack Plus subscriber, then, you know, root for who you want to root for.
Except the Dodgers.
Next week, hopefully, we'll have Steven and Steven from Lost the Musical. If not, there will be somebody, but that's the goal for them. And
if they can't make it, you can interview me.
Oh, good. That'll be good. That'll be really good. and then the week after that, we'll be covering the next four episodes. All the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues. Then we'll be going to Whatever the Case May Be. Then Hearts and Minds, and then Special. So we want to take the time to check out those episodes for next week, 2 weeks from now. All right, guys. We'll see you later. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.